South Military Avenue, Green Bay.
Talkin' Football is sponsored by Luxembourg Pharmacy, Northeast Wisconsin Chevy Dealers, HackersDriveChevy.com, The Pancake Place, and Seminar Sports.
101 WIXX, Green Bay's Packers radio network station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Over the middle, intercepted in the deep middle. And it's Adrian Amos, the former Bear, back the other way to the 30, to the 25, 20. And ladies and gentlemen, there is your dagger. Adrian Amos, the ex-Bear, with the interception to seal it in Chicago. And the Packers will take the number one seed into the postseason.
Woo! There it is, Wayne. We got the job done. Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Green Bay Packers. It was the fastest challenge in the history of the game, Wayne. Actually, outside of challenging the coin flip, I don't know that you can challenge anything more quickly than the Packers did. And there were a couple of times where the home field advantage was flashing before our eyes. But in the end, it was a convincing win and an automatic berth into the divisional round, the number one seed for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, absolutely. Tremendous. Just a tremendous season for the Packers. 13-3. You know, overcoming everything that you had to overcome just to play this season. I give great credit to the NFL in general, but the Packers in particular, had a small little bout of COVID, but nothing serious. And, did what they had to do. And I thought, and I really think this, Nick, and I wouldn't have said this about last year's team, and I didn't. And I didn't say this about 2016. But this particular team, I think, has a real good shot at the Super Bowl. This is one of the – obviously, they have the number one seed. That helps. But the way they're coming together, see, the way they're playing in the last 3 to 4, maybe 5 weeks, you can see this team, this group of players coming together, and there's that certain something that a Super Bowl-caliber team has, and this team seems to have it.
I know you mentioned it to Coach LaFleur in the opening, before the game, when you had your coach's interview with him, and you just alluded to it now. This is unlike last year in that they seem to be playing their best football as an entire team, as a unit, at the end of the season. That's always the challenge going in, is how can you time this thing so you peak at the right time? And it's incredible to watch right now.
Yeah, and Nick, I don't know if you can, and the coaches will deny this. They believe they can control everything, and that's why, that's why they're coaches. They believe they can control it, and they can get these things to happen, but it's not easy to do. And I don't know if there's something mystical about a team that makes a Super Bowl run, okay? And it has nothing to do with talent. It has nothing to do with X's and O's, but there's an ingredient that goes into a Super Bowl caliber team that it can't be explained, but it just happens. And I think this team, to me, looks like it's evolving that way. Now, hey, could they go out and compete in the first game of the postseason when they play in the divisional round? Sure. But at least from what I can see, this team seems to have that kind of magic that I've seen in other teams, 2014, that made a run toward the Super Bowl and lost in that weird finish at Seattle. A 2010 team that was getting better. That 2010 team, it wasn't super until, the divisional round when they blew out the Falcons in Atlanta. And then you looked at it and said, whoa, these guys are, they have Super Bowl in them. You look at Holmgren's Super Bowl teams, they all kind of evolve, and teams evolve in this league. They nobody is super in September or October. If you're the best team in the league in those months, then you better be really scared. And don't tell me Kansas City was the best team in the league in those months. They got blown out in, I believe, early October by Oakland. So teams evolve. Super Bowl teams evolve as the season goes along. It's not like it was 35 years ago, free agency, when the 85 Bears were the best team when they took the field at Platteville in July, and when they finished in New Orleans at the end of January. That doesn't happen anymore. Teams have to evolve in this day and age, and that's what I see the Packers doing, and that's why I'm so optimistic for them for the playoffs. And yeah, the coaching staff has done a great job with this group, getting it to play its best football now. But I think that there's something. Even the best laid plans sometimes don't result in a team playing well at the right time. And there's nothing anybody can do about that. But this team is playing its best football at the right time, and that's what you like about it.
Well, the coaching staff had a monumental task ahead of it, too, with the late week injury to David Bakhtiari. Of course, we know season ending. But not only to coach up that offensive line, but the offensive line itself, then the players. We always talk about the two sides. Coaches coach, players play. And the offensive line held up very well against a very good Bears front. That was a heck of a game for them under less than ideal circumstances, certainly untimely circumstances.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Nick. And it helped that David was out for three games earlier in the season. And this offensive line configuration they used, they were able to rep it earlier in the season. That certainly has helped. And that'll make a big difference going forward in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, Adam Stenovich, Luke Butkus have done a tremendous job with that group. These guys, you know, the key to this line, and they have good talent, don't get me wrong, there are three Pro Bowlers on that line when David is healthy, okay? And because Corey Linsley's a Pro Bowler. He wasn't selected to the Pro Bowl, but he's a Pro Bowler. Go look it up on Pro Football Focus. He's one of the top two or three centers in this league. So they have talent. But what the strength of this line is, guys, is its versatility. That's what it's all about, and that's what it's had to be about. I believe they've gone through four or five configurations of that line this year with very little drop-off, if any, in terms of production.
Okay, Wayne, you are the true professional, and you are
very scared and nervous.
Oh,
Wayne.
No, I'm not scared or nervous. You're very good at what you do, but at one point yesterday, did you do what we all did? I don't know if it was the last touchdown or second to last. Whoever caught that, you went, wait, who's that? I can't even find who it was, Wayne. Like, I'm trying to look up, and no one has recorded it anywhere that I'm looking it up. I'm obviously looking at the wrong places. But who was that guy?
Oh, you mean Daphne, the tight end.
Yes. Yeah.
Daphne, number 49?
Yes. My husband. Yes, my husband looked at me, and he was like, well, I don't know who that was. And I go, nope, me neither. Like,
actually, he's been playing some the last few weeks, and he's been kind of one of their motion tight ends. He's been in for blocking. He's caught a few passes, but really, John Kuhn calls him a fullback. He's listed a tight end. Mm-hmm. He's from Indiana State, and he is the 13th player to catch a touchdown pass for the Packers this year. That's an astounding number. Usually when you have 13 different people catch a touchdown pass or score a touchdown for a team, it's because you've had a plethora of injuries. But this team, just the way they move the ball around, I mean, anybody's eligible to catch a touchdown pass if you're, you know, if you're eligible in the game to do so.
We're also getting a lot of texts in about the whole beginning of the game.
The opening challenge.
Yeah.
Yes, but I feel like a Packer fan should know what that was because Randall Cobb did it.
Yeah,
like,
good call.
Was it like 7 years ago that he pulled that? Can you explain what the ruling is on that?
Yeah, you know what? Until you just mentioned that, I didn't remember the Randall Cobb thing. I thought that what you had to be, and here's where we got messed up on it. You have to be, if you touch the ball and both of your feet are inbounds, and that's what we thought, that, you know, when Patterson touched the ball, that he was inbounds. If you have a foot out of bounds and you touch the ball and the ball is inbounds, then it's the ball's out of bounds. And you're right, that was a great play made by Randall Cobb a few years ago. The officials ruled that Patterson had a foot out of bounds, you know, by the time he gained control of the football. Didn't look like that to us on replay, but, you know, that was unfortunate because that was worth the challenge by LaFleur because you're talking about 39 yards of field position right there. And so I thought Matt made a good call on that, his staff, to challenge that. And to me, it still looked like when Patterson touched the ball and was in play, but I guess the officials ruled, and Nick, I don't know if you were watching on TV or but what was the explanation from the television people?
Yeah, same as you just...
Dean Blandino on there, but we saw Dean Blandino, but we can't hear him because we're broadcasting the game.
Yeah, it was the same as you described it, Wayne. And ultimately, it came down... This is one of the reasons why I dislike instant replay so much, that the overwhelming majority of the time, there's nothing that shows them something definitive other than what they called. So it was kind of the explanation, Wayne, was had they called it down at the one, it would have stayed there. Had they called it out of bounds as they did, it was going to stay out of bounds. So it was kind of as you just described it. take a really close look, slow it down frame by frame, and I don't know, I guess he was out of bounds or I guess he was in bounds. It was kind of 50-50, but it went with what they called on the field.
Yeah, and they didn't have enough to overturn it.
Right.
Katie, that's a good call. Randall Cobb, you're right, did that a few years ago. Very shrewd play on his part.
Number one seed locked up for the Green Bay Packers in the NFC. Automatic berth into the divisional round, which feels real nice. We'll visit more with Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers, to break that thing down and kind of talk about what's coming up next during this week off on the Murphy in the Morning Show. Talking football on 101 WIXX.
It's Talking Football on WIXX. Wayne's Final Thought.com.
Back to Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee
on the Murphy in the Morning Show
on WIXX.
Green Bay Packers lock up the number one seed in the NFC. Who's next? We don't really know. We get to sit back and relax, Wayne. This will be a fun weekend. The wild card triple header Saturday and Sunday. Just get your fingernails, grow them out this week because everybody's going to be chewing on them for 2 days.
Yeah, when you were talking to us at the beginning and you were trying to give us, you know, encouragement about how teams just have something if they're meant to go to the Super Bowl and they have that magic. This morning I went on a rant that I'm really nervous about Washington because I just feel, because of Alex Smith, like I feel like that's going to be the ones. Yeah, sports destiny. It doesn't have anything to do with magic. I just feel like we need to be careful of Washington. And that's going to be my prediction this week. Washington's going to upset.
Yeah, you're predicting Washington will upset Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Here's what I was thinking. Obviously, if New Orleans beats Chicago's and Seattle wins at home over the Rams, no guarantees on either one, especially the Seattle-Rams game. But if Tampa Bay takes care of Washington, Tampa Bay will come to Green Bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is quite a battle. I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying it right now. That's my big. I mean, it wouldn't be an upset because they're the higher seed, right? But
yeah,
I think
It would be an upset even though they're the higher seed. They're 7-9, and the Tampa Bay is 11-5. So it would be considered an upset. Trust me, Tampa Bay will be favored in that game. But you're right. I mean, hey, Washington. Look, I watched them last night. I think Ron Rivera is the coach of the year in the NFL, and the job he's done with all the stuff that's going on with that franchise, and Ron himself personally, and Alex Smith has got to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL. Those are clear cut. But Washington, that defensive front worries me, Katie, because they can get after the quarterback. They can really make things happen, and that's the thing I worry about with Washington. And I think Tampa's going to be pressed by Washington, but the Buccaneers are playing really well right now. Brady threw for, another 400 yards yesterday, whatever it was. And, I mean, right now Brady gets off the bus before he gets his ankles taped. He's got 300 yards passing, and one of those things.
I feel like Rodgers and Brady are of the same caliber. You can never count the teams out when both of those two quarterbacks are at the helm. Like, there's no way you can ever count them out.
Exactly. Hey, guys, a couple of things I wanted to mention. The Bears dominated that football game yesterday. In terms of time of possession, they had the ball for 11 more minutes than the Packers. They ran 74 plays to just 44 for Green Bay. Now, think about that.
That's insane.
If you look at those two numbers and you didn't know what happened during the game, you would say, okay, the Bears won comfortably. But, the difference in the game was in the red zone. The Packers scored touchdowns in the red zone on all four of their trips in there. And the Bears were 1 for 5, one touchdown of 5 trips into the red zone. And the other thing that where the Packers showed their championship medal, in my opinion, all right, the game's in the fourth quarter. 11:22 to go in the fourth quarter. It's 21-16, okay? The game is hanging in the balance. And the Packers go on a 12-play, 76-yard drive that took 7 minutes and 35 seconds off the clock, resulting in Aaron Jones' 4-yard touchdown run. That's what championship teams do in the fourth quarter. That's what they do, okay? They're in a dogfight, and then they just say, enough. And that's what they did. That was just great.
We're looking forward to that carrying over with the home field advantage. Wayne, enjoy the week off. Enjoy just kind of sitting back and putting your feet up and studying who's next for the Green Bay Packers. We appreciate the phenomenal regular season with you, Wayne. We can't wait to talk with you in a couple of weeks about what happened in the divisional round of the playoffs in 2020. Thank you so much for everything.
Great, guys. Stay safe, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, Wayne.
Same to you guys.
Talking football, Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. And who's next? We'll find out. We talked about this with Wayne, and something that I still think I've gone 180 degrees back the other way on. Originally, I thought no fans at Lambeau with home field advantage is a significant detriment to the team. Like, that really stinks. You got that home field advantage. You got the weather. You got all the things. You got everything working in your favor. And you get to ride that emotion and those waves. I now think it is a greater home field advantage than with fans to be without.
Oh, I agree.
In this regard.
I agree.
You're standing. Let's say it's 15 degrees. We'll say it's 20 degrees. Let's say it's a warm day. It's 20 mm-hmm. degrees, and you've got Tampa Bay standing there. You've got New Orleans standing there. You've got LA Rams standing there. Whoever happens to be there, other than really the Bears, you've got those teams sitting there, and you have nothing. You have no distractions.
Yeah.
You have nothing to take you away from the fact that you are standing there in a ski parka with your helmet on a warmer while your defense is out there and you're some wide receiver from Miami who can't wait to just get back on the field again. And you're watching Aaron Rodgers and the Packers put together a 13-play, 7.5-minute, 8-minute drive, and you're just losing your boop out there
with
nothing. There's nowhere to look. There's no fun game to play. There are no people to look at. There's no energy from the opposing fans that you can capitalize on. I think if the Green Bay Packers can get out early, you just get 7 on the board against one of these teams, and you got a 7-0 lead early at Lambeau Field, having no fans there in the dead of winter might be the greatest home field advantage you could ever have.
Yes, agreed.
We'll see the way it shakes out. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Wayne, for a great regular season. We look forward to a long postseason with you. Talking football, that'll wrap the regular season edition on the Murphy in the Morning Show. 101 WIXX coming up. Hey, be careful with those icicles. Be careful.
Oh.
I mean, like, they're fun, right? It's not yellow snow.
Oh.
Or is it?
Yeah.